What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What is this new teaching, and with what authority? Amen. So I'm going to jump straight to the punchline here in this sermon today. Whenever we hear a group discussing issues of authority, we are actually witnessing a debate about power, authority, and power. We hear from 1 Corinthians today, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So here is the punchline about a subject which, of course, is no joke. The power of God is love, and all godly authority is grounded in the true knowledge of the power of love. Luke, Matthew, John, and Mark. So the Gospel of Mark is understood to be the first of the four Gospels written. Actually, that's not totally true. I mean, it was understood to be the first book written hundreds of years ago. And then it was not thought to be the first book written for a few hundred years. And then it was thought to be the first book again. We think it is now. And the Gospel of Mark is widely known to be sourced from oral stories. By widely, I mean a lot of Germans thought that it was. And then some people in England said, wait, no! All of the information from the Book of Mark comes from another book called Q. And so then we thought that there was this other source of information about the life of Jesus, and they called that source or that book Q, which was a book that was made up only of sayings of Jesus. But anyway, so this book of quotes from Jesus called Q informed the author of Mark. Well, wait, that's not totally true. I mean, for a long time, they thought the book of Q informed Matthew and Luke. And then they thought that the Gospels of Matthew and Luke informed Mark, which, by the way, wasn't actually his name, because the name Mark is known to have been assigned to this book much later in history by a bunch of people who never met Jesus or Mark, if that was his name. Which, like 100 years ago, a bunch of guys decided that it was not. So John Wenham, in his book on this subject, what were we talking about? Anyway, John Wenham said this, on this collapse of consensus about the Gospels, I found myself in a seminar on the Society for New Testament, whose members were in disagreement over every aspect of every subject. He said, when this international group of theology and history experts disbanded in 1982, we had sadly to confess that after 12 years of work together, we had not reached a common mind on a single issue. After 12 years of work and study together, they had not reached a common mind on a single issue. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The men in the synagogue where Jesus is teaching in our gospel today are perplexed and disturbed by his teaching, and they question his knowledge, power, but mostly, it seems, they are disturbed by the fact that this man who is teaching them is from Nazareth, because remember, nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Nothing good meaning no one with power, no one with authority. How could a man from Nazareth, whose father was a carpenter, who was poor and not educated as a scribe, have any authority? or power. And so this one man asked Jesus a question, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Now, clearly this man is afraid. We know that he is afraid because he says to Jesus, "Have you come to destroy us?" Fear often leads to judgment, and judgment is the enemy of curiosity, and curiosity is key to transformation. But when we are afraid, we crave certainty. When we are insecure, we look for absolute truths, and we are more likely to make definitive claims. When we are afraid, we are very likely to puff ourselves up. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. When our faith relies on certainty and absolutes, and when that certainty leads us to judgment thinking, there is no room for curiosity and no possibility of transformation. Look, the truth is what we think we know changes over time. When we are presented with new information and we are curious about it, this is a good thing. This is evolution of mind that leads to the transformation of the heart. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. A group of experts in history and the Bible gathered together to share their knowledge about the Gospels. Which Gospel came first? Who wrote it? Who did they write it for? What was their purpose? And on for 12 years. And at the end, they had to sadly admit that they had not come to agreement on even one subject. That was in 1982. 12 years before that, another large group of men, yes, only men, gathered together for the General Convention of the Episcopal Church. In that meeting in 1970, they discussed and voted on the authority of women to be ordained and serve as priests. Some of you may remember this meeting. Power. In that meeting, they voted no to the right of women to be ordained priests. 3 years later, after much discussion, much organizing, much education, they voted again at the General Convention of 1973. Again, they voted no. They said, and I quote, "God is Father, therefore his priests are to be men." They said, "Priests are the symbols of Christ on earth, and Jesus was a man, and so his priest had to be as well." And I quote from one bishop, "You cannot change a chicken into a rooster." What? Okay, that is true. It's just, that's true. Hundreds of people voted on the basis of what they deemed to be knowledge given to them by the Holy Scriptures, knowledge that informed them who had authority and who did not, power. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Women were allowed to be deacons, to serve the poor and sick, but they were not allowed to be priests with sacramental duties, power. In response to these two meetings and the resulting no votes to women's ordination, three bishops gathered 11 women who were already deacons, and they ordained them to the priesthood anyway. Power. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" Those 11 women then lived for years under death threats. And they were unable to serve legally in their role as priests, but that did not stop them. They did work. They did serve the poor. They did tend the sick. And they did celebrate the Eucharist, power. Those first women priests were known as the Philadelphia 11. I was not even a year old when they were irregularly ordained into the priesthood. but their courage paved the way for my future and for the almost 3,000 women who now serve as priests in the Episcopal Church. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. 3 years later, at the General Convention in Minneapolis in 1976, following the irregular ordination of the Philadelphia 11 in July of 1974, the authority of women in holy orders was again introduced for a vote. This time, it passed. Those hundreds of people, men and women, voted yes. Knowledge changes over time. Transformation. Last week, I saw the new documentary made about the Philadelphia 11, and we will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of this moment in history this July here at Grace, so stay tuned for more information about that. After I saw the movie, I left the theater as the hundreds that were gathered were standing and applauding the Reverend Dr. Carter Hayward, who was one of those women known as the Philadelphia 11, and who was there with us for the screening of this movie. And all I can say to you right now is that the power of love was visceral in that room. Men, women, children, standing and applauding Reverend Hayward and her courage, her tenacity, celebrating her boldness and commitment to the church, to humanity, to love. Love builds up. The possessed man said to Jesus, "A new teaching, and with what authority?" And then Jesus said, "Be silent and come out." And the man was cleansed of all that possessed him. This man was possessed by the fear of the unknown. He was possessed by the fear that he would be destroyed and that he might lose his power if someone like Jesus could have authority in the temple, someone who, based on his knowledge, was powerless. Friends, if any knowledge informs us to believe that others should not have power because of what they look like or where they are from or how much money or education they have been given, if any knowledge we have informs us to deny people their humanity, if any knowledge from any source takes away the rights of others to become what God has made them to be, if knowledge harms or breaks down people, planet, or peace, that knowledge does not come from God. It comes from man possessed by fear. And it is knowledge that puffs up. Friends, knowledge changes over time, but love is eternal, and only love can build up. The only knowledge that we can ever be sure in, certain of, in fact, the only knowledge that our faith can securely be built upon and never ever falters is that the only true power is the power of love. And this we know to be true. When groups of people act in the power of love, we will always build up one another. And we will be transformed. Amen.